I'll leave it to more noble minds than mine to discuss it. But I don't like it. Because I believe that we have a God who will never leave us or forsake us. Now maybe that's because of this very moment on the cross. Maybe because of this, that's why we have a God who will never leave us or forsake us. But maybe there's another reason that Jesus said this. Maybe there's even another reason he said it in Aramaic. Because if you read a little further on, the people who are gathering around, the Romans and other people who are there, they didn't get it. They're like, oh, look at him. He's calling on Elijah. He's looking for Elijah to come take him down. Maybe he wants Elijah to come whisk him away in his little chariot of fire. Still mocking him and reviling him. Of course, that wasn't what he was doing. He was speaking the indigenous language of the people that were with him. He was speaking in Aramaic, the native language of his friends. He was saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, maybe you were people who just think that's a cry of the heart, an outpouring of utter abandonment. Why am I here? Why have you left me for this? Why am I enduring all of this hardship? Or maybe you know that this is the opening line of Psalm 22. Maybe, because clearly the Romans didn't get it. And I struggled to find a reasonable parallel, something that everyone would get and they would understand. And I was talking with one of my colleagues, and she is a fine southern gentle lady. And I like to pick on her because it's so easy, really. And we were just sort of poking at each other, and she got a good little zinger in me, and there were a bunch of students in the room, so I couldn't really say anything too harsh to her. But I knew exactly what I could say. And so I whipped up my thickest southern gentleman, and I said, frankly, my dear. And all the students looked at me with this blank look. They were a bunch of 8th and 9th grade girls. And they looked at me like, yes. And she just looked at me like, how dare you? Because of course she knew exactly what was coming next. Because she knew the context. She got the joke. Jesus on the cross crying out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, was almost pulling one of those. Because the Romans didn't have a clue. They're like, oh, he's calling on Elijah. Isn't that funny? But to the Jews, he just started off singing one of the first lines of one of their favorite songs. Now, in some of our services, we sing this, or we say it. And frankly, when we start off, it's not a good song. It's not one of those cheerful, happy, clappy ones. It's painful. When we study the different forms of the Psalms, this is called a lament. It's, man, how horrible is this? How horrible is my life? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear me. And in the night season, I am not silent. I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, despised by the people. All who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake their heads, saying, "He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him now. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him." Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. They gape at me with their mouth, like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart within me is like wax. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. You have brought me to the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They look at me and stare. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. And then right at the end of verse 21, there's a change. It stands out. The authors actually skip a line. And I think what Jesus was saying is, think about how this psalm ends. You have answered me. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall worship you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All posterity shall serve him. And he shall be recounted to the Lord, to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people yet to be born, that he has done this. He was speaking out. And there are those who say he was crying out in his agony, in his humanity, in his despair. And I don't believe that. I believe in his dying moments, He was preaching. He was saying, it's not over. But he didn't have a half an hour to preach a great swan song of a final message. He could get out a few words at a time. After all that he'd endured, after all that he'd suffered, after enduring crucifixion, His lungs were filling with the lactic acid of the byproduct of being crucified. He was literally suffocating in his own lactic acid. He was drowning. Drawing breath was impossible. He didn't have the breath to say everything that he needed to say. So he said that first line of a song that they all knew. See, the most quoted book by Jesus in the New Testament isn't Isaiah. It's Psalms. Because for the Jews, this was their prayer book. It was their hymnal. It was how they worshiped. And when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Every one of them went, and are so far from my cry and the words of my distress. And they kept on going until they got to that line that said, and you have answered me. And they knew he was preaching. Because on the cross, Jesus hadn't given up. It wasn't over. And he was speaking triumph to a people yet unborn. The gospel would be proclaimed. and triumph was on its way. In the midst of all this, even when your mouth says one thing, does your heart hold on to the triumph? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.